Can you hear the music?
Yeah, man.
Oh, man. This shit gets me right fired up. Just pumped.
Good tune.
This gets you, like, in the mood, you know? Like,
yeah.
People have music they want to, like, fornicate to. And then there's music that you want to, like, record a podcast to. This is both.
There you go. Double whammy.
Double whammy. All right. Welcome back to another episode of On the Throne with Dick. And shout out to Senjin Boychuk for making that incredible intro, outro music. And find him everywhere on the socials, man. And yeah, I'm really excited for today's episode. You know, we got Red Leaf Oil Clothing. Yeah, man. I'm pumped. I love your gear, man.
Thanks, dude. Appreciate it.
Yeah, man. I've wanted to get you on for a while, man. You know, like, it's, you know, oil and gas podcast, blue collar podcast, oil and gas guy. You work around where I work around in the winter, right? You nearby totally. Anyway. And man, yeah. That logo, and I didn't know the world class oil and gas patch was on the back. That is sick.
Thanks, dude. Yeah. It's what we do, right? And yeah, I've been through Fox Creek a bunch of times just driving through. I never even knew you worked there, but
yeah, man, I've been there for 6 years now.
Nice.
Except for when I come here and work on the road crew in the summertime, just to kind of keep it so not all my eggs are in one basket kind of deal, you know? So it, you know, when the bottom falls out of her and you know, we're all scrambling, you know, when the music stops, I still want to have a chair to sit down. Right. So, and then, you know, so yeah, I've been coming here for, I've been in the patch for 12 years. I've been coming here for 9.
Nice.
Yeah. Yeah, man. It helps pick up the year too, you know, like in the grueling schedule of the patch. I mean, I'm home less when I'm here, but my wife gets to come visit and I'm not on call 24/7. Yeah. So like, it makes me want to murder people less.
There's always benefits, right? Pros and cons to everything.
Yeah, man. And you're in what? Swan Hills, eh?
Swan Hills. You betcha. Yeah. It's probably like 45 minutes from White Court, which is, I think, another 45 to Fox, something like that.
Yeah. Yeah, how long have you been out there for? Are you born and raised in Swan or?
No, from Saskatoon. So ended up out here in 05.
Nice. So
coming up on 20 years now. I never thought I'd be here that long, but
I'm currently recording this podcast from Saskatoon.
No way.
I'm on Circle Drive right now. I'm at the Super 8.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, man. Working out near Collinsley.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, we're doing the road crew thing here, and this is just a small gig here. We've been here for like a couple weeks now. We had a couple bigger jobs around here, but this is this here small. We should be done here tomorrow, and then we move to Porcupine Plain.
Oh yeah,
staying in Hudson Bay. So yeah.
Oh sweet.
Yeah, I've never been up there, so that's pretty neat. Moose capital of the world, apparently.
Is it?
Yeah.
Dang. Yeah,
that's where, what's that? Sorry.
See him lots up here.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah, man, you see a lot over like, in, you know, between Swan Hills and like Valley View, there's a fuck ton of moose, right? Like, you know, it's Moose Alley, right? In that part of 43. Right. And yeah, this past, spring, I've seen them a lot. Like it was an abnormal amount of moose that I seen up on the ANC.
Nice.
Yeah, man, they're all like skinny and gross looking though. So
I actually have a brother and my parents are still living in Saskatoon. So
nice. I used to live here back in the day and shit. When did so like 2009, 2010 till about 2012.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, man. I lived over in Alphabet City there for a while, and then I lived over I guess Blairmore. It was kind of close to Confed Mall. When I moved away, I was living over by Confed Mall. So both ghettos, you know. I lived in the ghetto. Yeah.
West side, southwest side. Yeah. I grew up actually in Sutherland, which is kind of a small town. It's on the east side of Saskatoon. It's still kind of a little pocket, but it's considered Saskatoon. That's where I grew up.
Do you, Was West Side Dougie a fixture in Saskatoon at that point in time, or Sailor Dan?
Sailor Dan was, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah,
him lots. I've actually bought a few of his drawings before. Yeah, he passed
away.
Wow,
really? Yeah. Yeah, it was a couple years ago. I think I moved away. It was a few years ago now. Sailor Dan passed away. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. Fuck, that's crazy. You know, there's the 3 degrees of separation, right? And you know, everyone's kind of sort of connected somehow. And then, hey, here's our of all things Saskatoon.
That's crazy. Yeah.
Yeah. Man. So, man, how did you come up with the? I guess I wanted to get into it. Like, how did you come up with like the design and why? Like, why were you just working away one day? You're an operator, right?
Yeah.
You're an operator. You were just like, hey, you know what? You know, I got to make some clothing here.
Yeah, it's like 15 years now. I think I've been operating. Did a few years service rigs before that. But as a field operator in the bush, you're driving around checking wells, checking facilities. So a lot of windshield time. You get at least 3-4 hours a day of just driving from site to site and listening to music or whatever, staring off into the trees and just – your mind kind of wanders and you just start thinking about what you're doing and how the oil field works and what it does for the country and all that stuff. And
yeah,
I don't know. I just, for some reason, just the oil dripping and the maple leaf was it.
Yep. Yep. So. No, man, it's a badass logo, dude. Like, I love that, you know? And like you said, you get a sense of a feeling for, you know, what we do or what the resource does for our country. Right. And that's, dude, you get a real sense of pride when you stop to think about it. Right. Like, you know, when you first jump into it, you're like, oh yeah, I'm going to make some money, you know? And you're doing your thing. And then, you know, it becomes about the camaraderie after a while. And then, you know, it becomes about the lifestyle. And then, you know, I don't know how many people actually get a real feel for, you know, what they're actually doing out here, right? Like it's pretty cool when you stop to think about it and you have that surreal moment that, like, you know, like what we're doing is we're basically keeping the lights on and keeping the country going.
Yeah. No, it was kind of crazy for me too, like coming from Saskatoon there, it's the prairies, right? And you basically think about what you see or what you grow up around. So like my grandpa was a farmer, so think about farms and all that stuff, you got a connection to it and it's familiar. But same kind of like what you were saying, I moved out for work and trying to make some money and got on the rigs, and it took quite a while, like quite a few years before it really clicked in what we were doing and what these wells provided and all that stuff. So it's definitely like, I don't blame the average person for not getting it. It's, if they're not around it, how do they know, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And yeah, you're talking like the people that don't work in the industry, right? The average person. Oh, dude, there's such like, when I go back to home to Ontario to visit, yeah, so many people don't have an idea, right? They don't even have a clue, right? I had a conversation about equalization payments and transfer payments and whatnot. And with my sister's mother-in-law. And she's like, oh, it's fair though. You know, like it's fair. Quebec's a have not province, and that's where the population is. You know, like if they're making money over here, yeah, you should send it over there. And like, I didn't know whether I should like strangle her or like, and if I turned it into a teaching moment, I tried, right? She didn't get it. She didn't, if you're not here, you don't get it, right? And you know, what's cool, we talk about it all the time now though, is like TikTok, social media and stuff like that. You know, it's shedding a light on what it is we're doing, right? And you know, maybe some of us aren't, you know, like I my content, you know, I joke around a bit with it, but and I started showing a little bit of my, you know, day-to-day activity and whatnot. But yeah, man, like it's a crazy ride, man, because, you know, it's kind of like a resume at this point in time, right? Like or not a job board, but like it's kind of like a pamphlet. It's like a pamphlet. It's like, you know, you go to a hotel and you're like, whitewater rafting only 45 minutes away, you know? And yeah, you're like, hey, oil and gas, bitch, right here, right? Like,
No, for sure. Yeah, I don't know. It's been really eye-opening for me. CanadaAction.ca was kind of, they're like the pro everything, right? Like pro mining, pro farming, pro all that. So that kind of started the gears going in my head anyways for like, yeah, why isn't this info more out there? And, you know, why isn't it plastered everywhere? Like how awesome it is that we all have these furnaces and pipelines and gas tanks, and we can do so much nowadays that we couldn't back in the day, right? Like just 100 years ago. So I don't know. It kind of got exciting to me, and I figured, I don't know, like why isn't there more out there like this? Like why isn't there kind of some dope streetwear, some stuff that's stylish? And I started looking around. There are a few things, but none of them just really hit the point for me, like for the feel and the logo. So I was like, bounced it around in my head for a couple of years, took some notes, and I was just like, there's probably like 20 different reasons why I started it, but one of them was just to scratch that itch. I gotta make it, see what it looks like in real life, make it a thing.
Hell yeah, man. And you've done a hell of a job, man. Like, I mean, like they're nice hats, man. Like I noticed today on the back, you know, the little like part on the back where you can like make it tighter or looser. You got the RLOC logo on the back too, man. Like on the little tag on the back of the hat. The inside of the hat. I'm not taking the hat out because I'm bald as fuck, but
All good.
Man, the inside of the hat is nice, dude. Like, dude, you spared no expense when you made this stuff, right? Like, it's you know, and that's you know what you got to do really in order to get quality shit that you can stand behind and that you're proud to push out, right? It can't be some cheap shit. It's got to be good, right? And you've done that, so.
Thanks, man. Appreciate that. It means a lot. I come like I was a snowboarder as a kid. It kind of sounds weird coming from the prairies, but I was big into snowboarding and loved it. And there's a lot of like skateboard style and snowboard style. Like style is a thing, right? So you got all your doing and stuff. I don't know. I got all this different stuff. They have very pictures and everything. So try and get some of those features in on my stuff. I like this about that hat, or I like the trim on the lining, and it's like it's got to be like custom, right?
Like Hurley and Burton and stuff like that, right? Like snowboarding, you're talking snowboarding, right? So like, I don't know if Hurley is it, but Burton and
Burton's a big one, yeah.
yeah, man. No, that's I don't know if you can hear the horns going off in the back.
I wasn't sure
So
you were me, but I
yes, the
don't
I'm at the hotel and everyone's coming back and they're all just like, you know, like
know.
I got back here and. Yeah, man. Some people are like, you know, going out for dinner or whatever, and they're back in, and someone set off one of the car alarms out there when they were doing it. So,
Oh yeah.
yeah, man. So, what is like? This hotel room is nice. This is a nice hotel, right? There's a king size bed and stuff. It's a beautiful hotel, but like, I could be put in the most ghetto hotel ever, right? Put cockroaches or whatever bed bugs in there. You know what, like that does. If I can park off the door of my room, I'm happy. You know, blood stains on the sheets. Ah, you know what? I had a bloody nose last night. That's from me for sure, right?
Yeah.
Like, you know, I could park off my room. I'm happy. Leave me alone. Yeah.
So I don't know, it's been pretty a big learning curve doing this. So I've
Yeah.
never done it before, just kind of dove in head first and trying to swim. It's kind of fun, but watching your videos and all the other guys' videos, it's kind of watch and learn and try and trial and error, and it's been fun. But yeah, I love your stuff, your content, and it's good to get a laugh, and that's something I need to work on too. It's people like that stuff, right?
Yeah, man. No, and man, you got to be relatable, right? The more relatable you are, the better it does, the more people like it, you know, and also when you're relatable and numbers don't really mean shit, but like if more people are if you're selling something, you want more numbers, right? The more numbers, the better. Because like, you know, if the conversion rate on that, let's say it's like 20,000 people look at it and you know, like, okay, so out of 20,000 people, even, you know, 200 people decide to buy. That's huge, right? Like, for 200 sure. hoodies, 200 hats, you know, like.
Absolutely.
Yeah, man. And yeah, so like you're also, I thought you're a firefighter as well, right?
Yep.
Where do you go?
Well, it's a kind of like a form of community service. Put some good karma in the karma bank, right? So it's a volunteer fire department, and been doing that for 5 years. So the way it works in small towns is there's not really anyone, like, enough calls to justify a paid full-time person. So people with some training step up and go do trainings every week. And then when calls come in, then we show up and we do our thing. It's actually kind of funny because I never knew this till I even joined the fire department, but there's, I don't know what the stats are, but it's surprising. I think there's way more volunteers than there are fully time, like in the city's paid guys.
Wow.
For Canada as a whole, if you Google those stats, it's quite surprising. All the little communities, it's a lot of volunteer positions where they just come from work or come from home and go to the hall and do their thing.
I know quite a bit of volunteer firefighters, actually. I work with some of them. Our dispatcher is a volunteer firefighter in Fox Creek. And one of the people we work with, she's a volunteer firefighter where she's from in Pinoca. And okay. Yeah, you know, it's like they do a lot of talking about that stuff, right? Like, I don't know if you know who Quick Dick McDick is.
Nope.
Quick Dick actually lives nearby here in Saskatchewan. He's a farmer in Foam Lake. And okay. he worked in the oil and gas industry for a bit and then came home to run the family farm. And I'm trying to get him on the podcast. We had lunch a couple weeks ago in Foam Lake there. And man, I can't wait to get the guy on the podcast, but he was joking around about it. We were talking about firefighters and stuff, and he's like, "Oh man, love them. Best kind, you know." He's like, "But they're a lot like vegans. How do you know when someone's a firefighter? They will fucking tell you, right?" Like, you know, I thought that was funny, you know. And it's like, it's true, man. Every single time, you know, I've made friends with someone and they're a firefighter, that's like, "Oh, hey, I'm a firefighter. I'm a volunteer firefighter, or I'm a firefighter." And it's like, "Yeah, hey man, cool. That's awesome."
Yeah, there's some stereotypes there for sure. And even between the paid guys from the cities and the volunteer guys, there's a bit of stereotypes there, but it takes all.
It's just like oil and gas, right? Just like oil and gas. Lots of stereotypes there, man. You know, like I didn't take what he was saying as like offensive or anything like that. I thought it was funny. Yeah. I was like, "Yeah, man, that's it. It's just like oil and gas workers. How do you know when you've met one? They'll fucking tell you."
Yeah. Yeah,
what do you do? Like, thanks. I never thought you'd ask.
Yeah, no. It's kind of cool in the like small oil and gas towns because, like, on our department, anyways, it's basically Swan Hills is mostly oil and gas. We have the waste treatments too, but there's like five or six different oil companies that are represented with people on our department. It's kind of neat. So,
yeah.
Little oil and gas group that makes up like probably half of our fire department. So we get to chit chat about work sometimes too at calls, and sometimes they're in our fields, stuff like that.
So what were like, how old were you when you got into the oil field? You said you've been in it for what?
Almost 20 years.
20 years. Yeah.
22, 21, something like that.
Yeah. What did you do before that? Like, were you, your first gig, like oil and gas, or like, was there, you know, something, before that? Like, you know, you had to kiss a frog or some shit before you got to the good shit.
Yeah. Like, basically out of high school, I worked for a little bit in a meatpacking plant. I was a vacuum salesman for a little bit, just trying a bunch of random stuff. Worked at Doug Spoken Sports snowboard store for a little bit.
There you go. And
worked at a place that imported and resold tea from India. I kind of worked in the warehouse there for a few years, and then just ended up, a buddy from Saskatoon was getting a job in Slave Lake. So he said they're hiring. So I booked a trip to Swan Hills in my 1993 Buick Century and drove on up. It was like January 3rd or something like that. Stayed in the hotel, and the rest is history. Did about 3.5 years on the service rig. So
nice.
Then I had a kid by that point, and the family life was started, and I got an opportunity to go operating. So I snagged that up.
Yeah, it's usually when you get one of those, it's usually pretty like, hey, you know what? I get to wear my slippers sometimes, you know, like, yeah, I know what you guys do. I walk into the control room sometimes, get a ticket sign, and you guys are just like, hold on, let me get my slippers off here, you know, like, hey, don't come no further than the door with them boots on. I don't want to get my slippers dirty, right? And I know, yeah. I see what you guys do. No, and it's probably like, you know, also very stressful at times, right? You know, you're responsible for like, what, batteries and shit like that and plants and whatnot. So, you know, it's a lot of moving parts, man. I get it. It's like, yeah. Everyone looks at a consultant and thinks he's got a cushy job, but like, that's anything but.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a different kind of work, right? Like, I mean, even field by field, it varies. Like I worked up in House Mountain Field for a while there, and operating there is different than operating south of that, and that feels different than operating south of that. Different companies, but it's all fairly similar. Like as a field operator, you're driving around, like you check your main facilities, you check your wells, you got to test the wells, you got to pig the wells and write out work orders, do lockouts. So you're kind of responsible for things staying running properly, and when they get broken down, set the people up to fix them without getting hurt.
Yeah. That's important. You know, everyone comes home and, you know, mission zero or goal zero or whatever that iteration is. There's a lot of them. Targets, right? And
they all have their
own. Target, missions, goal. Yeah. It's, man, you know, like it's cool. Cause you, like, you almost know, like when you're working around there, you are almost looking for it, right? Like, where's their goal zero or target zero or mission zero? You want to know. Right. And like subconsciously, even maybe you want to know, right? Like, cause you know, it's in the back of our minds, you know, and we're figuring that out here right now where I'm at. You know, I've been here for 10 years just about, and, you know, we did a lot of good things with like safety wise when I first started here, and maybe it kind of went to the wayside a little bit, you know, where we're like, all right, we're all like really familiar with each other and we all know, you know, so it's like, all right, well, we'll do away with this, do away with that. Well, over the last couple of years, you had a lot of new faces come in. Right. A lot of old faces leave. Right. And, you know, there's been some issues. There's been some incidents, I guess. And it's like, oh man, how do we mitigate that? Right. And then, you know, now in the safety meetings in the morning, I put my hand up and I'm like, hey, this is what we do in the oil patch. Right. We have a big safety meeting and on a frack or whatever, everyone takes turns, you know, so someone from each group takes a turn saying, hey, this is our hazards over here. This is our hazards over here. And, you know, we implemented that. And, you know, for the longest time, it was one person did the FLHA and then you just kind of signed it. Right. Well, no, man, like let's all like put it on the tailgate and let everyone have a chance to read it. Because whether you, and I never really realized this until recently, I kind of had an idea, but like I didn't understand the gravity of it until recently. Whereas like if everyone's reading it, it's in the back of everyone's mind now. Like, you know, like, oh, okay, okay, that's a hazard. Rather than hearing it and one person talking, you look around at the group and half the people are staring at the clouds, you know, like, hey, you know, like wonder what that cloud shaped like, you know, so I've been helping them, you know, like let's implement some like shit that we do in the field here. And it's worked. Everyone for the last month now, anyway, it's been a month, right? Like, let's not go fucking, let's not get too excited. It's been a month, you know, so, but it's been working. Everyone's kind of, you know, buying in and getting on board with it. And we're all like, you know, nothing's happened in the last month. So it's, you know, it's we're good, right? Like, knock on wood.
Yeah, it's so many different scenarios. Like, even on the rigs, we were kind of doing our own thing, right? And you get to know your crew really well.
Yeah.
Basically, like family. Like, when I was starting on the rigs here, it was the service rigs, which is kind of the smaller stuff, as they say. The big boy stuff's the drilling rigs. But service rigs, like, we stayed in the hotel. Like we would, the company would pay and there'd be two of us in one room, two of us in another room, and travel to the grocery store together and spend all day together and do our paperwork together. And there was that continuity or whatever, like you get gelling, but other scenarios where you got a bunch of random people showing up all the time, it could get hairy, right? You don't know what where their head's at or whatever. So.
Yeah. No, 100%, man. And, you know, I remember working in the oil sands in Fort Mac in 2012, 2013, you know, they were bringing in all them, what did they call them? I can't remember what they called them. They were temporary foreign workers, TFWs. They're bringing in the TFWs. Yeah. And a lot of them couldn't speak any English, right? And, you know, they were from countries where, you know, they worked in the oil patch there, but, you know, safety was kind of, you know, not really a thing. And that's when you start getting a sense for, like, you know, the oil and gas industry here and how, you know, we are the most regulated oil field in the world, you know, like our safety and, you know, our environmental. And you start getting the feel for it when you start working with other people from all over the place, right? And, you know, some of the shit they do is like, whoa, man, back up. You know, hey, I like where your head's at. You want to get it done. I want to cowboy it up too sometimes, but I'd like to go home, right? So yeah, and yeah, man, you get a real sense of, you know, where we're at and how far ahead of the game we are.
Yeah, it's kind of tough seeing the oil and gas name dragged through the mud in the news and all that stuff when you know that stuff, right? Like,
yeah,
we, as an industry in Canada, we are world-class. That's where the world-class oil and gas tagline came from. Like, it's been bouncing around my head listening to the radio, and it's like, I don't know, man, we're doing a pretty good job.
Yeah. 100%, man. Man, did you seen that picture I took in front of the rig there last year or last winter with the oil and gas, like world-class oil and gas logo? Man, I had to get that. Like when it said world-class oil and gas, I'm like, all right, I got to get that because I didn't even wear it because I was cleaning tanks that day, right? And I didn't want to get it right fucked up. So like I worked all day and then just before we left, I put it on and I'm like, hey man, take this picture. Right. And then I took it off because I smell like invert and it was just like, no, I don't want to get this. I don't want to fuck this hoodie up. I like wearing it out.
Yeah.
Right? So yeah, it's a nice hoodie. And man, like, that logo, I can't, like, it's amazing. So, and I like what you're doing with the patches too.
Thanks, man.
Yeah.
Came from buying about 50 different hats or 100 hats over the years. Right. And picking what you like.
Yep. Yeah. Yep, that's when I had my own. I have my own merch line, right? And like nothing serious, just like, you know, we're just, you know, fucking around. And I got the Camp 10 logo on there, you know, Camp 10. And then, you know, I got a couple other things on there. How many hats did we have to fuck up to get it right? You know, how many hats did you like have to throw away?
Well, I ordered, like, I had designers design the logo for me, and it took a bunch of re-edits because it just wasn't right. And I didn't know exactly what it was supposed to look like. I just kind of had something in my head. No, it doesn't look right this way, that way. So by the end of the weeks or whatever of getting the logo right, then tried about five different suppliers with five different hats this way, that way. And
yep.
Not cheap to do, but finally picked some ones that were like, yeah, this is good. This is good. We'll go with this.
Yeah. Yeah, man. Like, and good choice, by the way. Like, you know, that feeling, cause when I had this designed and, you know, on the back, I got the cartoon face design, you know, like, what's that?
Nice.
Yeah. And, you know, when you send away and you ask someone to do something and it's just, all right, it looks good, but like, I don't think that's the one yet. Right. Then they redo it again. And I'm like, that's cool. Like this year, man, the blue hard hat wasn't on there at first. And the mustache wasn't quite like that. Yeah. And then I'm like, man, I wear a blue hard hat. Can we put the blue hard hat somewhere? And then, you know, at first I think he threw it on the tee. And I'm like, I don't like that. Right. Like it's cool. I do like it, but it's not singing to me yet. Right. And then, yeah. You know, he puts it on the D and I'm like, yes. I'm like, that looks sick, right? And then, you know, the mustache, we went through a couple different colors of it. And I'm like, all right, you know what? That looks good. You know what? I like that. That is singing to me. That is beautiful, right? And yeah, dude, like, it's your baby, right? You gotta look good, feel good, right? So, you know, you're putting your baby out there. You want other people to like it enough to pay for it, right? Like, you're asking people to drop their money on it.
100%. Yeah. It's a fine line too. Like, you could go on forever, but you got to say, am I wasting my time or is this going to work out? And then, yeah, it gets closer and closer and then you go. But there's so many designs I have in my head too, but like the main one's always going to be there.
Yeah. But
it's, I don't know. I like looking at the Troll Co and like Dixon and Burton and like all those other companies and just, it sparks creativity, right?
Yeah. Yep. Troco like came up with like a fucking badass idea, man. That worked out so well for them.
Yeah. I actually worked with one guy a couple years ago who said he knew the guys that started it over by, I think, Lloydminster area maybe, but I think they're just really big in the States now, right?
Yeah. Yeah. They're from Alberta originally.
Okay.
And they blew up over in the US, and so, you know, they're mainly over there, which, hey man, and you know, like, working with them has been a lot of fun. Working with you has been a lot of fun. Like, I don't know how much I've helped. I've tried, but like, you absolutely know, yeah, man, I don't even know I have a code, don't I?
Yeah.
Yeah. What is that code? Is it Dick Frost 10 or Frost 10? It's Frost 10. I don't know, man. It's in my link tree. And then like when I want to like, yeah. Yeah. So if you guys see like anyone watching this or listening, you know, Red Leaf Oil Clothing, like Daniel Harper bought a hat.
Yeah, he did. I was actually the other day. He was asking about the details and stuff. He was pretty stoked on it. And I was pretty stoked to have him order and send him down to Texas.
That's, yeah, man.
Big oil Daniel's country, right?
Daniel's a stand-up human being, man. What a gem of a person, man. Like, I don't know. Did you listen to that episode of the podcast?
Oh, yeah, I did. Yeah, and I listened to one he was on maybe a week or two later, Second Act or something like that.
Second Act podcast with Gord Kiely, man. That guy is my homie. I love Gord. Gord's amazing.
Episodes.
What's that?
They were both really good episodes, and I checked out Daniel Harper's music, too. I like that stuff. It's pretty good.
Yeah, he's got some good music. I enjoy Oilfield Man. That song is that song sings to me, right? Because, you know, like, hey, just 18 years old, you know, lost, no direction. What am I gonna do? What's a boy to do? You know, and you know, so you headed for the patch, and the rest is history. You know, like, Mama didn't have the cancer, but like, you know, same shit.
Absolutely, yeah. It's kind of like what I did. I thought I was just coming to make some good money for, you know, at least a few paychecks or maybe a few months, maybe a few years. You never know. And it's 20 years later. I got a house and 3 kids. And
yep.
This is home.
Yep. I actually got into the oil and gas industry. So I was living in Saskatoon. I was working at Leon's Furniture and in the warehouse making $13 an hour. I didn't move across the country to make $13 an hour, right? So I was like looking at it, didn't know anyone in there. I was looking for an avenue, right? I was trying to open doors, just talking to people. And then one of our delivery drivers, he got laid off. He worked on the rigs and he got laid off. And he comes in and he's working the delivery truck and we get to talking. He's like, yeah, man, I just come from the rigs, right? Like, you know, this money sucks, you know, but whatever, I need to pay the bills. And we're talking. I'm like, man, how do I get into this? And he was explaining, you know, H2S ticket is your main thing. Back then it was H2S. You didn't need your CSO or anything like that. First aid wasn't that big. Just get your H2S and you get in the door, right? So I'm like, okay. So I booked all these tickets and I got my H2S. And then I'm like, well, now what? It's like, start looking online, man, you know? And that's what I did. I started applying online and I went to the first place that called me up in GP and I just traveled back and forth for a while. And yeah, man, it was my first paycheck. I remember I had got paid yet, but I was with the guys. I was talking with the guys there and I'm like, man, I really got to buy my wife some flowers. They're like, what do you mean? What for? I'm like, say sorry for being gone, you know? Like, this can't be easy on her. It's not easy on me. They're like, dude, buy her a car. Car? What are you talking about, bro? He's like, you'll see. A couple days later, first paycheck comes in. I'm buying my wife a car, right? Like, fuck yeah, let's go. Man, I love that gig. And then, you know, from there, you know, just bouncing around for a little while until, you know, back then, not so, I don't know if it's worse now, but I just like staying at one place. I don't like that jumping around. But back then, you know, I jumped around a lot trying to find out what I liked and what I wanted to do. You know, I'd go anywhere else for, they're paying an extra dollar. Fuck yeah, let's go, right? And now it's like, hey, they're paying an extra dollar, an extra couple bucks, I'm going to find out why first, right?
Yeah.
Oh, they don't have a camp. Well, I'm making a couple bucks less here, but they have a camp. And, you know, like, that's everything. So.
No, that's definitely a big benefit. That's for sure. I remember, it was, I can't remember what I was making starting, but it was big for me, like 18, 19 bucks an hour, just as a green hand, like a lease hand, right? Basically, yeah. Walk rag in your pocket and a green hard hat and don't touch anything. It's like, this is. And then after a few weeks or whatever, you get on the rig floor and start running whatever and stabbing pipe. It's, I don't know. The rest is history. Is about a year, and then I was up to stick working, training as a derrick hand, and that was pretty exciting. I did almost 3 full years of that. So that was enough. I froze myself many times. I remember the one time up in, like, we were, our rig was a skid rig, so the pump was on a skid. It wasn't on a truck.
Yeah.
And double, triple, so double tubing, triple rods, so two joints of tubing at a time, three sections of rod. So I remember the one day up in the rod basket, and my nose was running. It was minus 30 some, and just leaning down, and I had a snotsicle that broke off my nose, fell, and then broke, like shattered on the monkey board, like on the diving board. 60, so snotsicle falling from 90 feet to 60 feet and breaking. And I'm like, man, this is, I don't know how long I can do this, right?
Yeah. Man, that's, you know, looking back at my first winter, dude, and it was like, I don't know how I survived that thing, right? Like my first night shift, man, right? The first night shift I ever worked, I was flying back. I stayed up all night with my wife, you know, doing what we were doing. And then, you know, I got on the plane, all excited to go back to work. The boss quits mid-flight, right? Like, I don't know what the fuck happened. But the guy that took over, we didn't see eye to eye, right? And he right away, he throws me on nights, and I didn't sleep a wink the night before. And, you know, first I had to, like, a 3-hour drive. I landed in GP. I had to go to Costco and get food first, and then drive up to, I think, Fairview. Oh, yeah. I think it was Fairview. And we went up there, and my first night shift, man, you know, he threw me in a piece of equipment. He's like, don't die. Right. I was like, oh shit. Right. And like, I woke up, I fell asleep in the skid steer. Right. I was driving, and I woke up, and I had pushed a belt like 10 feet over. I'm like, oh shit, man, I don't know what the fuck's going on. Right. And then I got out, and then I was like, I was shoveling some shit underneath something. And, I was there for a long time. I know that. And the guy up in the tower, he noticed too. He's like, man, you were there for like 2 hours. What were you doing? I fell asleep underneath. I was on my knees, like in minus 40. I was in my knees, just like, I was in a one piece like winter suit.
Yeah.
Good to like minus 70 or some shit like that. And I'm just like, I was warm. Right. It was minus 40, and I was warm, and I fell asleep right there. I'd never worked a night shift before in my life. Right. That was crazy, man. Yeah, dude. Like, it's wild, you know, looking back, right? Like, you know, you had that look of like bewilderment and awe and everything going on around you. You were so wet behind the ears, right? And now, like, so many years later, you see a new guy come in just staring off at everything, and you're like, yeah, I remember that feeling, you know, like. You know, hey, snap out of it. You know, we got shit to do, but like I remember that. It's kind of cool. It's kind of cool to see in other people.
It is, yeah. It brings you back to the days when you're just looking at the old guys saying, what are these guys thinking? Why are they staring at me? And now your tables have turned. Yep.
Yeah, man. Absolutely. Absolutely, dude. Hey, do you know what viscosity is?
Sure do.
Yeah. What's viscosity in your own words?
The flow of the liquids.
Yeah, sure. So where I'm going with this, the podcast is sponsored by the Mudman. You know, and the Mudman deals in viscosity. You know, he deals in the thickness of your load, right? Mm-hmm. So, like, hey, how thick is your load? You got a thick load? You might want to see someone about that. But so the Mudman, you know, for all your drilling fluid and laboratory testing equipment needs, you know, he's taken the he's taken like the complications out of he's made it more simple anyway. He's taken the guesswork out of, you know, testing the mud and whatnot, and it's all digital and shit. It's so cool, man. It's really cool to see his stuff and listen to him talk about it and where he came from. And you know, shout out to the Mudman, you know, www.mudmanmarket.com. And if it wasn't for him, man, I'm blown away by this. This would be the second episode we record on the laptop, you know, and the mic, the headset, and now the laptop, you know, because of the Mudman. You know, we're able to put the phone down, get off the phone, and you know, it looks cooler on here. It sounds better, man. That's all possible because of the Mudman. So shout out to him.
Heck yeah. Where is he work out of? Has he got?
He's out of Calgary.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah, man. He's a solid individual. Like, I love that guy, man. I knew him before I started the podcast. You know, he found me on the social media and he was watching my stuff. And then he's like, he brought a bag to my house one day. He's like, hey, man, my shop is near your house. I lived in the southeast of Calgary at the time. And he's like, my shop's nearby. And he brought me this big bag full of Mudman shirts and hats. He's like, give these out to the guys and stickers. Right? Give these out to the guys whenever you see one and stuff like that or see someone. And I did. I tossed them out to everyone. I'm like, here, man. Right? And then, you know, I've kept some for myself, right? I'm like, man, this is a badass logo, right? Why not? Yeah, he's got another logo. It's like the John Deere logo. The color scheme of him, like, pouring, you know, mud into the Biz Cup.
Nice.
It's really cool.
What was I going to say? I think it was a blue hat you're wearing of his, too. It's like a baseball logo.
Yeah. It's like a camo hat.
Oh, okay.
The blue shirt. I got a blue shirt with the baseball logo on it. And then I got the camo hat with the baseball logo on it. Yeah. Like the MLB logo. Yeah. I think that's his original logo. And then he moved over to the John Deere one afterwards. He's just like you, you know, ideas twirling and twisting in the mind. And yeah, it's pretty cool, actually. I like what he's doing. I like his ideas and I like his vision. You know, it's really neat.
Nice.
Yeah, man. I just call it Arlock. Where do you see Red Leaf going over the next, you know, like, what's your 5-year outlook for the brand?
Basically just going one step at a time, getting new designs. I have some in the works already. I got some t-shirts made with some different logos on them. Probably going to do some different style hats with some different logos on them too. And then just slowly building my workspace at home here, creating more content that way, and kind of having like a set office with set stuff to just ramp it up slowly.
I love that.
Printer, adding computer, and maybe start making some of my own stuff. Like, usually I get a lot of it made through print shops or small custom places, but maybe start doing some of my own stuff. It's one of those things that just takes time. Got to learn everything, and it's mostly in my spare time right now. So busy with everything, right? Like work, a family, fire department, all that stuff takes it. I don't know. It's just a message that I think's pretty important. So it should get it out there.
I hear that, man. Busy, you know, 100 hours a week at work. Fucking content creating. I haven't done much of that lately. You know, I've been busy, been flat out. You know, husband, father, Yeah. Podcasts, you know, I'm right now, I've recorded every night this week almost, right? Trying to stay ahead of the game, right? Like, you know, like, I never know when I'm going to be too busy to record. And if, you know, all of a sudden we get to a Tuesday or, yeah, where we come up to a Tuesday, the podcast drops every Tuesday evening. You know, we come up to a Tuesday and I don't have an episode recorded because the last couple of weeks have been stupid busy. Right. So I try to stay like a few weeks ahead of the game. And, you know, so I, when I put effort into the podcast, my content suffers. And then, you know, I let it go. And then, you know, over the course of the last couple of weeks, 4 years into content creating now, you know, like it takes its toll to do that way. It's a lot of work. Right. So I've been watching movies 4 years, man, the last like 7 months, six, 7 months, watching movies, hanging out with coworkers after work again. You know, I got into Twisted Teas over the last like couple of weeks, man. I had no idea they were that good. Been having some Twisted Teas, been, you know, hanging out, just, you know, doing something other than social media, because I noticed, you know, the further down social media I went, the less social I became. And, you know, it was, you know, out, you know, it's, and it's, you know, there's more to life than that anyways. Right. And, finding that happy balance, you know, we're there. I put out one or two videos a week and like, it's, I don't get time to scroll lately. And so, yeah.
Yeah. It's a struggle, man. I find that too. It's, you got to limit it. It'll suck you in, but, it's good to juggle it around and take breaks. And sometimes for me, it's just recycling some old stuff and trying to keep a bit of a flow there going with putting something up on the stories anyways, something for people to click on. And yeah, whether it's new or not, it's try and keep people engaged. And but you definitely need to unplug. And I love doing that, like going out and just not doing anything with my phone for the whole day or the whole weekend.
Yeah.
Also going camping, all that kind of stuff. It's, you definitely need that. I like Swan Hills is in the bush. Like there's been a little bit of logging around here, but it's pretty thick bush, kind of like Fox Creek. So yeah, there's everywhere. And we love going out, taking the dog out in the bush and the kids and going snowshoeing in the winter, whatever, hiking in the summer. And it's pretty rejuvenating, like just in the big boreal forest, which is like a therapist kind of, you know. It's like a refresh.
Yeah, man. I totally agree 100%. You know, when I noticed when I went home, for the long weekend here that just passed, you know, when you, I don't know if you have an iPhone or not, but it tells you how much screen time on Sunday night or Sunday morning, you know, it was down like 45% week over week. I was like, yeah, all right. Less time on the phone, still 8 hours or more. We're like still down 45%, you know, and then this week will be even less, you know, because I'm not recording the podcast on the phone anymore. Right. Oh, yeah. So, you know, I'm just moving away from the phone and I'm still plugged in, but like just not on the phone.
You got to do what you got to do. I think it's pretty awesome, this podcast you're doing and how consistent you are with it. It's refreshing to see because I've followed, like, podcasts are wicked. Like, I've been into them for a long time and kind of like audiobooks, podcasts. It's a really, really good thing to put on driving around in the bush operating, checking wells. Because it's, I don't know, there's no commercials, right? Like, I don't know. I get commercials are just so annoying to me sometimes. Yeah. I don't know. Podcasts are awesome. Pause them whenever, play them whenever. And the consistency is there with you, which is, I don't know. I love it. It makes you come back because the guys that are inconsistent, it's kind of frustrating. You get into it and then it's like nothing for a couple months. It's like, ugh.
But yeah. Well, man. Yeah. What was that?
Just said you got it going on. You got it dialed.
Oh, dude. And it's a lot of work though, right? Like it's, oh my God. It's fun. It's fun though.
Is it a lot behind the scenes, like time-wise after you record or?
Yeah. So there's reaching out to people, right? I can reach out to like four or five people a day or a week and then two get back to you. Three will read it and just ignore, you know, and then the two that got back to you, one of them's like, well, you know, when are you available? And then It's like, not for a while. So then, you know, it's like, okay. So like, and then there's that part of it. And then there's, okay, when can we make it work time-wise, right? When are you available? When am I available? Oh, hey, tonight I have to cancel. You know, it's like, that's all right. And then a lot of it's a lot last minute, right? A lot of it's like, hey, man, you want to do a podcast sometime? Yeah, when are you available? 20 minutes? Let's go. I like that. I love that shit, right? Like last bit, well, the schedule, right? Our work schedules are, you never know. So take advantage while you have the time, right? And then, yeah, then you spend an hour, hour and a half, sometimes 2 hours recording. And then, you know, when you get closer to release day, I put out teaser trailers. And so it's something I gotta go back and listen and pick out what I like. And then I put it into CapCut and I shrink it down. I edit it. I add things to it. Then I distribute it out to the different platforms. And then, you know, and then I got to pick another trailer because there's two or three per, right? And then this past week's one, I was so busy, I didn't get a chance to put one out, right? And then sometimes it's Tuesday afternoon, you're at 3 hours until the podcast drop, and it's like, I haven't uploaded it yet. So wherever I am, it's like, okay, click upload. It's done. Good, right? You know, we're good. And then, you know, also working in small towns or up north or in camp where service is shit, right? I can't always upload the YouTube video because 2 hour long, hour and a half long YouTube video takes fucking hours to upload on shit service. Day, so I think a day sometimes. So it's like, I sometimes I can't do it. The last couple of weeks I was in Bigger, Saskatchewan. I was in Unity, no cell service there really. Come to Saskatoon, 4 or 5 weeks of the podcast are all.
You froze up on my end. Still there? I lost you.
Hey there.
Just
as we were talking about how, you know, cell service is not the greatest and or service in general is not the greatest. Fucking the hotel Wi-Fi kicks me off. Hotel Wi-Fi kicks me off as we're talking about it.
Yeah, that's, you know, hilarious.
And that's another thing, right? With the laptop that's going to help. I couldn't edit before. So if we had these issues, yep. I'd have to throw it onto my old laptop, which was old and slow and would take hours to load up and all that shit. Sometimes, you know, I'd do it and, you know, it took so long that I just ran out of interest and it went up how it went up. You know, if there's a 2.5 minute pause in there, then so be it. Right. Like, I guess, but now new laptop, good speed, throw it up there, edit it real quickly. You know, efficiently get it out there like that, man. We're talking about it. You're probably not even going to know that there was a disconnect there in until you hear us talking about it. I'm just going to edit it out, right? Or shut maybe up. I'll leave it. Who knows? Shows character. The podcast is rough and tumble. Hey, you know what I mean? And that's also why I'm so amazed that, you know, why we're probably in the mid 80s now. Just about this episode will be. That's 80 straight weeks that we've been posting the podcast for now. And like, it, you know, I'm blown away that we've been able to keep it going this long just because of these issues we have with, you know, working up north and in camp and whatnot, right? And the work schedule.
Yeah, for sure. It's pretty frustrating for me sometimes too. I don't know if it's my phone that's goofing up, or like if I'm out at work, sometimes the cell towers go down, or even our internet at home here in Swan Hills isn't the best. So I'd be uploading like a video or even sharing something to stories, and it's taking like 20 minutes. I just get frustrated. I can't sit around forever, right? But
yeah,
it is what it is. It's there's all kinds of trade-offs for like living in the city. It's convenient for a million reasons, and I get that. But I guess got to live with shitty Wi-Fi and cell service sometimes in the bush, but you get the bush.
Yeah. And man, it's wild though to me, and I say this a lot, is that, you know, we're how many years into, you know, how many decades into the internet now, right? And how far the internet services have come, like fiber optic lines, 5G, 5G plus even at some point. You know, like how does not every town have this stuff, right? And just this past winter, Fox Creek just got fiber optic lines through the residential neighborhoods. Oh, nice. Fox Creek has been around for like 70 years, 60 years, right? Like, how are they just getting this shit now?
I don't know. Yeah, we don't have that up here yet. And I don't know if we ever will. Like, we're such a small town. It's maybe 1,000 people kind of thing. It's almost like a camp kind of.
Yeah. But yeah, the camp we have is like 50 people, which is kind of nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, man. The I don't know, man. The next time someone wants to sponsor the podcast, right? The next time, you know, someone reaches out about it, I'm going for that Starlink, right? Hey man, like, hey, what can we do to make your show better? Starlink. I need cell service everywhere I go. I need good internet, right? That's just part of the game, and that would help, right? So it would, so that's where I'm going with next, right? And it's that or something silly like fucking get me a drone. I'll record the podcast on a drone. I don't know.
Yeah, if you had Starlink, you could go live from the truck.
Yeah, exactly, man. Exactly. Yeah, I do that sometimes out in the parking lot. I park close enough to my door or the hotel, and I feed off the Wi-Fi from there. Or if I'm in a decent enough town, I just go and use the 5G. Like, you know, I pay like $120 a month for all that data. I might as well use it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Crazy. Things have been getting a little better though with in Canada. It's still crazy expensive compared to other countries for some reason. I don't know if it's the geography of Canada being so spread out or what, but
yeah, man. No, yeah, it probably has a lot to do with that. That and, you know, taxes and, you know, taxes. So this is the thing. There's no competition. All the companies are owned by fucking two dudes. So in the U.S., you have like 20 companies competing. So it keeps prices low. Canada, two dudes, three dudes, whatever it is. Right? Yeah. It's shit.
Yeah.
Whatever. It is what it is. YOLO.
What are you gonna do about it?
Yeah, man. So the wife and the kids are away, and while the wife and the kids are away, Red Leaf Oil Clothing will play.
We'll podcast, you bet.
We'll podcast. Where did they go to this weekend? You said they went GP?
Yeah.
No, that's not too bad. That's not that far.
No, it's I don't know, three and a half hours, something like that.
What's that?
Triathlon.
Oh, nice, nice. Yeah. Send them to get some Crooked Creek donuts on the way back?
They might. Yeah, they might.
My wife has never had Crooked Creek donuts. I talk about them all the time. She's never been that far north. When I leave Saskatchewan here, when this contract's over and we go back to Alberta, we're going up to GP, and my wife's going to come visit.
Nice.
And I told her, you're stopping at Crooked Creek Donuts, right? Yeah. Like, I talk about it all the time. It's too far away the other way from Fox Creek. I'm going towards Edmonton. I'm not going that way when I go home. So I'm not going to go grab donuts before I leave. So I told her, I'm like, you're stopping and you're getting some donuts. And you're going to try these donuts because they're fucking delicious.
Oh, they're awesome. And they're heavy too.
Oh,
A lot of calories packed in there, but they're awesome.
I bet, man. I can only ever eat one. I get like one or two, and then I give the other one away, or I get like depending on who I'm with, I'll get like half dozen or whatever it is, and give the rest away. I'll take one. And like here, I can't.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And really good stuff.
Yeah, man. I don't want to take up too much of your time, right? Like, I'm also, I gotta be up super duper early tomorrow. We're putting everything into finishing this job so we can move on. And tomorrow's our last day, so like we're giving her. I got one more, question. You probably heard it if you've listened to the podcast before, man. The Mount Rushmore. What's that?
You bet.
You bet. Yeah. Mount Rushmore has four of the most influential people on the Rock. If you could have your own Mount Rushmore with four people, that you look up to, inspired to be, or that inspired you, who would they be and why?
Yeah, I was listening to a couple episodes over the last few days, and I've heard a ton of your episodes before. I've been thinking about it for a little bit, and it's definitely my parents are up there. Pretty decent parents that gave me a really good start in life. Loved me, clothed me, fed me, all that stuff. Kept me busy. Tried to keep me out of trouble as best they could. And, yeah, they're just hardworking people, and they set a good example for me. So it's they're definitely up there. My wife, for sure, too. She's pretty awesome. I don't even understand how she can see more in me than I can in myself sometimes.
Yeah.
Like, it's wild. Like, I don't even clue into it till a year or two later, some of the things she says. And it's just like, thanks. Because, guys aren't easy sometimes, especially when we're still growing up ourselves, learning what to do, what not to do, and how to be, not be a dick. But,
and with mental health, the last, a few years, we've come a long way with that. But, we still have a long way to go. But, my wife, same. She sees more in me than I see in me. We've had that conversation lots. Hey, why did you stick around? We've been together almost 20 years. 20, yeah, just about 20 years. Married for 11. And, it's like, why? Why are you still here? We were like 16. Why? I was dumb. Like, why? She's like, well, I saw something we're sticking around for. I couldn't wait for you to see it too, right? And it was like, damn. Fuck.
That's pretty special, yeah.
Yeah, man, it's amazing. I was just around, I was just hanging out because I was getting laid, I was like, fuck yeah, 16, 17, woo, fuck yeah. And she wasn't in it just for that. So, yeah, good for her.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. It's pretty blessed, I guess, pretty lucky for that.
Hell yeah.
And then we got three kids together, and they're amazing kids, and she's just such a good mom, too. She's for sure right up on there in the Mount Rushmore. Feel pretty spoiled. It's pretty awesome. The kids are up there, too. Like, I was listening to that, what was it, Rocksteady the other day?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Under your episode with him, and he said his kids, and I never really thought of that, but I totally get it. Like, you have kids, too, and it's... Mine are a little older, but it's wild, man. They say that they teach you more than you teach them, and it's kind of true. Like they need you to become like the dad or whatever, and there's no manual, but you just go with it and
throw that manual in the garbage, even if there is a manual, man.
Oh yeah, no, like, it's definitely give and take. Yeah. With the, yeah.
My oldest daughter, when she was born 5 weeks early, and she was super calm and, chill. She slept a lot, and she was just a really easy kid. And right until my youngest was born, super easy kid, right? And when, my wife's like, oh, I'm pregnant again. And it's like, oh, fuck, we got this. Fuck, this kid's amazing. We got this, right? It's fucking easy. The kid came out with a whole new book. Just like when you thought you had it all figured out. No. You throw that book away. That book means shit. Right? Like, yeah. Nah. It's she's my youngest is my oldest made me a parent and taught me how to love something or someone beyond anything imaginable. My mm-hmm. youngest has taught me patience and how to just like relax a little bit and take a breather, you know? And sometimes I don't always do it. The other day I accidentally pocket dialed someone. I had the screen open and I accidentally pocket dialed one of my friends. Corso Chris actually owns the Sour Moose, the candy store. And it was chaos in my house when that phone call went out, right? My daughter was losing her shit looking for a shoe. And my oldest was, and the youngest one hit it on her. So she's just like laughing, like, you know, like trolling the shit out of her. And my oldest is whining. And she sent me the voicemail that I had left her. It's 27 seconds of me just being like, shut the fuck up already. Shut your fucking mouth. You know, like, and I was like, yeah, that wasn't my finest parenting moment. And I'm sorry. She's like, I'd be lying if I said I never told my kid to shut the fuck up. Right. Like, and it's like, glad we're all on that page together, you know, like.
Yeah, I got a couple teenagers now, and I remember being a teenager and remembering the frustrations that I gave my parents, and it's real, man. Yeah, seeing it from the other side is kind of funny, but frustrating too. But it is what it is. It's all good.
We allowed our kids to have a lot of leeway and a lot of freedoms, and I don't care what they say. It's funny when they swear, right? Like, it's funny. And I taught my oldest and my youngest that when my wife's giving them shit, I'm like, just tell her, get off my dick, mom. Right. And they started saying that a lot. And like, the window to the car was open the other day and my daughter like yells out, so I get off my dick. Right. And I'm like, all right. So we started like reeling it in a little bit. Right. Like, hey, whoa, my oldest and my youngest soon to be, they go to a Catholic school. So it's kind of like, hey, you want to keep going to this school, you shut up a little bit, right? Like, yeah, I can't believe I said that and I allowed it to happen. And it's just, and then, you know, you can't get mad at them when they do it and they get carried away with it. That's on me, right?
Yeah.
My wife's right. Getting mad at me. And I'm like, yeah, that's fair. I mean,
it's weird. Sometimes you need to be reminded where you are and like, hey, shut up.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Yeah, my kids are up on my rock too with my wife, but yeah, like I said, if my oldest, you know, taught me love, my youngest taught me patience. So
definitely.
Thanks for coming on, man. I really appreciate you coming on, man. This has been a lot of fun, and we're gonna have to have you back on again sometime. Anytime you drop a new link or a new design, shoot it out there, you know. Yep.
For sure, man.
Where can people find you on the socials and your website? What's that at?
Facebook, Redleaf Oil Clothing, Instagram, Redleaf Oil Clothing, and redleafoilclothing.ca, or just rlock.ca. Yeah.
I love that new logo too. The new logo where you got all the letters in white, they're just like interlocking.
Yeah.
That just like when I saw that, dude, that was like orgasms for my eyes.
Yeah, and it's got the little leaf tucked into the sea. It's kind of floating there.
Yeah.
Yeah. I had
it's
a guy.
It's pretty cool.
He nailed it, yeah.
It's beautiful, actually. I got a couple of those stickers, actually. So I'll have to, like, put it on my hard hat. I got the World Class Oil and Gas on the brim of my hard hat. So, yeah. But yeah, man, and if you guys do buy, and anyone listening that wants to buy anything out there, use code Dick Frost or Frost. Frost 10. See, Frost 10. I don't know. I just look at my link tree. What's that?
You're too busy.
Nah. use code Frost 10. Save yourself 10%, man. Like, you know, like it's that easy.
Yeah, you bet. Free shipping over 150 in Canada.
He can't go wrong with that. Go buy all the hoodies and hats.
Heck yeah.
All right, man. Thanks for coming on, buddy. I appreciate that. And, you know, like, thanks for being a part of what I'm trying to build here. It's my baby, so.
Yeah, it's awesome, man. I'm honored.
Hell yeah, man. Thanks, buddy. And hey, stay frosty.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And that's terrible because I didn't have the music ready to go. See what I mean? Like, we're just, I don't know. It's interesting. What's that?
The way it goes. Roll with the punches.
Yeah. Roll with the punches. Have fun with it. It's not professional. We're all just blue collar guys trying our best. You know, like, I'm not a tech savvy dude, so I'm still learning my technology on my phone. When I had the phone going, it's right there in front of you the whole time. When I'm using the laptop, I got to relearn the technology again. Right. So, yeah.
Yeah. I'm not too tech savvy myself either, but obviously forced to learn.
Yeah, that's true. Whole new editing when it comes to like TikTok and Instagram and stuff.
Yeah.
All right, man. Thanks for coming on.
You bet. Thanks. And peace.
The music this time is Whoa.